Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Happy Thanksgiving, 2009. Today is November the 26th, Thursday, Thanksgiving morning. I'm back home in Wallace after eating with my family last night out at my brother's, who lives 5 miles out of Wallace, maybe, out in the country, Sammy. And so Cindy and I spent the night with my mother, and her parents spent the night with his brother, which is just a few blocks from where we stayed. It is 47 degrees. It's probably close to 7:30 by now. I've been running for 36 minutes. Today is not a long run. We were going to run the long run. We will run it, rather, hopefully, on the weekend. Today we'd like to go 8 miles or 73 minutes. That's generally what it takes, 72, 73, 74, somewhere in that ballpark, about 8 miles. As I run through Wallace right now, I'm running along Railroad Street, and I am getting ready to make a left onto, I'm not sure what. I mean, I know where I am, obviously, but I don't know the name of the street. Maybe I can tell you in a minute. We're crossing the railroad, going up the other side of the railroad. It was Murphy Street. As I left my mother's, went through downtown Wallace, ran down Cumberland Street, and went down Main, and passed by, which is 41 actually, passed by First Baptist Church, and passed by what used to be Edgerton Funeral Home. No, Padge, excuse me. Now it's called Edgerton. And Wallace, although Wallace is what I call home, technically I grew up in the area, not just in this town, because when I went to live with my mother and stepdad at age 8 or 9, we actually lived in Pender County near a little place called Pender Lee, which is probably 7 miles from Wallace. Being back here today brings back a lot of memories, as it always does, even when I run. I remember back in my teen years telling my mother I was going to run to Wallace and back. I said, "You kidding? You're going to run that far?" It was about 14 miles. I said, "Yeah." And I did. I used to run to Wallace 2 or 3 times in a month, maybe. Go get water at the old Scotchman next to the Baptist Church. Scotchman was a convenience store owned by Worsley Oil. That particular Scotchman was empty, I noticed. Looks like they might be doing something to the building. But go over there and get water, turn around, go back home. But anyway, running from Pender Lee to Wallace, you're leaving Pender County going into Duplin County. But running to Wallace, that was probably the first place that I ever took the bleach and water solution that I described a few episodes back and actually used it. I talked to Austin last night, and he mentioned, when did I actually do that? I got another runner coming in the fog here. I'll let him pass. Let's see how it goes. Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I didn't recognize him, but he was taller than me, a little older than me, had a beard, glasses, and he was shuffling along like he was enjoying getting out on Thanksgiving for a run, which obviously I'm enjoying, and I hope you are enjoying being with me, even though Thanksgiving's over by the time you're hearing this. But Thanksgiving should go the entire year. Of course, every day we have a lot to be thankful for. But anyway, living with my mother, Wallace was the town where we did much of our shopping and things like that. I actually went to school at Pender High School. It opened in 76, home of the Patriots, appropriately enough. I graduated from high school in 81. And I used to drive that road between Penderlee and Bergall, which we would call, again, appropriately enough, Penderlee-Bergall Highway. And drove it many times to school, and would also drive it to work on days that I was not in school and I had to work. But I used to enjoy that. Hadn't been down there lately. I'd like to ride down there and just see how it looks. I think we're going to turn around here. But passing a funeral home a while ago reminded me of my stepfather Hoover. Hoover died in 1982, I believe. I believe it was my first year of college. Hoover was 50 years old when he died. Korean veteran. Part of his job was to, in Korea, was to go around and pick up the dead bodies and throw them on the wagon. His mother, who's been dead a lot longer than Hoover, even though he's been dead for, wow, 28 years, something like that. That's hard to believe. But she said he was never the same after that experience. Well, I think that's probably an assumption we all would make. Hoover was a nervous person at times. He had a bit of a temper, ill-natured, but yet most of the time he was good to be around. He enjoyed life, generally speaking. Not really educated, but very educated as far as practical things. Being able to do things with his hands. I'm actually going to take these glasses off. The reason being, it is so foggy this morning. Let's see if I can get them arranged. That the fog is getting on the glasses and I can't see what I'm doing. To run, really. I don't want them bouncing on my shirt, so I'm going to put them under my shirt. It's not exceptionally comfortable, but maybe it's all right. I can see well enough to do what I need to do. So anyway, that's the kind of man Hoover was. I remember we used to, Thanksgiving always makes me think of him. He would cook a ham on Thanksgiving. Carol told me yesterday at Sammy's that she'd been thinking about Hoover a lot. And I had a little one. Then when I ran by the funeral home a while ago, it reminded me of his death. I remember when the funeral was over, Sammy told my mother Hoover didn't have any life insurance. He didn't even have a checking account. That's the kind of person he was, but I remember Sammy telling Mama that he said, if you'll give me his truck, I'll take care of the funeral bill. Well, he didn't get to be the good bargain, I'm sure, but weighed a half ton red Chevrolet pickup that we used to enjoy using. Hoover hauled around a lot of junk. We used to tear down houses and keep the brick and pile them up in the backyard in a row and never really did anything with them. Just stacked some here and there, covered it up with tarp, and when it rotted, you threw it away or burned it. I don't know why we did so much of that. But, so Sammy ended up paying for a chunk of Hoover's funeral, but he got that truck in the process, which the truck's been gone a long time now. But anyway, Hoover died back in 82, but he taught me things like I said, fishing, how to set gill nets. I pulled the seine with Hoover, if you know what that is. You might not. I've set cat hooks where you fish your catfish. I believe I talked about that last week, maybe. We used to raise some hogs, enough to kill once every year, or maybe every couple years. You kill them in the winter because you don't want anything to spoil. And I have eaten sausage that was just ground 5 minutes before when we were grinding that, seasoning it, where we had killed the hogs. And that's what you call fresh sausage. I've actually helped to take the hog heads, split them open, take the brains out, which are good with eggs, by the way, which I eat probably once every 10 years. But you take the meat of that hog head, the fat, the skin, all that, and you cook it down, and it makes this big, not really soupy, but a little thicker than soup. You squeeze all the bones out. We used to put them in galvanized containers. Put vinegar, salt, pepper. Let them sit. Refrigerate it. Becomes like a gelatin. Call that souse meat. Slice it off like in a little loaf or whatever. Eat it. It's not good for you, but sure was good to you. We would eat that. We used to make our own sausage, as I said, and stuff it. And we would take and hang it upstairs. Had some dowels hanging by wire, and we would drape that sausage around and around, loosely drape it. And you don't refrigerate it, it was cool enough up in the attic during the winter, and then you got sausage. Excuse me. Stopped at a daycare to get water. I don't think there's anybody here. But we would do that, and I have taken the fat renderings from the hog, boiled it in a cauldron, cast iron pot outside, put it in the press, squeeze it out, and you make a cake of cracklings, if you've ever heard cracklings. And I'm not sure, but might be losing my GPS signal. My battery may be going down in my unit. But I ran 5.13 miles in 48 minutes and 52 seconds. So we'll use that to gauge how far we went in my running log, if I do run out of battery. I know it beeped a couple times like it's having an issue. Let me know it's not happy about the juice. And my mother would take the cracklings, mix them in cornbread, and bake them in the oven. And preferably enough, creatively enough, you call that crackling cornbread. But that was kind of eating that we did. Ham, ate a lot of ham, a lot of pork growing up. That's not good for you, but and back then you weren't concerned about how fat it was. You wanted some fat. And I've eaten fatback with large, what we call lima beans, the large white beans, homemade biscuits made with lard. I've eaten that more times at my mother's table than I can count. But that's kind of life we had. Hoover was in and out of work a lot, as I said, but he managed to keep us going. And even though my dad was a pharmacist, living with my mother and him and my half-brother, we were poor. Because my dad didn't come through with child support the way he should. There was always issues with that. But Hoover took care of us. And I can remember actually going to take down copper wire. This has been 25 years ago. Where they were updating the telephone lines and rolling up that copper, putting it in big tubs, 55-gallon drums actually, carrying it ironically to Greensboro to sell it, get the money to live on. Hoover never had a checking account, as I said, or insurance or anything. He wouldn't go to the hospital or the doctor unless he was forced. But I remember back in 1982, a Sunday evening, I think me and back in Wallace, they were, it's got me reminiscing. Forgive me. Thanksgiving is not uttering words, but living by them. First Assembly of God. We're back on Main Street. But I can remember back on that Sunday, 1982, it would have been July. My grandmother had died that April. And Hoover having some issues with pain and saying that he needed to get to the hospital or the doctor or somewhere. I had a 74 Green Valiant Plymouth that I'd bought from North Carolina government to replace the 74 beige vinyl top Plymouth Valiant that I had, that I had wrecked. That's another story. And that was the car we took to get him to the hospital. Living in Pender County, we went to Bergall. And on the way to Bergall, I remember it was me driving, David in the front, Dale with my half-brother, Hoover's son, who was 8 or 9 years old, and Mom and Hoover in the back. Okay, Paget Funeral Service, funeral home, the home of thoughtful service. That's where we had Hoover's arrangements dealt with. It's right across from First Baptist Church on Main Street, next to the Thelma Dingus Bryant Library, established 1969. That's where I am at the moment. We're going to hang a left up here. All the road goes out to the small airport and out toward Pender County where I used to run years ago. When I come to Wallace, I'd be on this very road that I'm on at the moment. Man, that really puts things in perspective. Life has changed so much. Little did I know what life involved back then, as I'm sure you can imagine. So we get in the car and we're going down the Penderly-Bergall Highway. And I remember Hoover moaning, saying, "Can you go faster?" I'm now on Boney Street, by the way, running up behind the funeral home. "Can you go faster?" And I was going 85. And I didn't drive wild when I was young. Well, I don't now either, but you get my point. And so we get down to the hospital. They take him in at the ER. We go in the waiting area. And we're sitting there waiting for news. And I remember they come out and they told us they were working with him and whatnot. And after a bit, seemed like a long time, they wheel him by on a gurney, putting him back in the ambulance. And I never will forget the look he had on his face. It was a look of fear, look of resignation. Now, I believe Hoover had made his peace with God before he died. We had talked about that. And I believe that had happened. But at 50 years old, you don't want to be checking out. Well, you don't want to be at 90, but most of the time. It's like an old saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to make the trip. And so, they told us that we could follow behind them. They had taken Wilmington. And so we do that, and of course, we never see the ambulance because they're going so fast. So we get down to Wilmington, me and Delwood, David, Mama, waiting in the ER once again. It's a large waiting area. And they come along and in a bit, and they tell us to wait in this little small room over to the right of where we were, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. And let me tell you, if you're ever in that setting, and they tell you to wait in this little room, the news ain't good. So we go in there, and just a few minutes, doctor comes in, sits down, and says, "I'm sorry." My mother starts to cry. But I'll never forget Dale with losing his dad at 9 years old. Apple of his eye, Delwood was. And all he kept saying over and over as he cried was, "I want my daddy. I want my daddy. I want my daddy." I hadn't thought about that in a long time. But my heart still breaks when I think about some of the things my brother's gone through since that time. Some of the issues he's, like all of us, he could have done better. But lose your dad at age 9, it's just not right. But that's the way life is. We all know that. But I remember he was absolutely crushed. We all were. And we know the world's picking up garbage on Thanksgiving. Somebody is. But we go back home, and I remember Sammy coming, people from our local church, and we, I think it's the first time in my life I never stayed up the entire night, and I stayed up the entire day the next day. Didn't get to bed until late that night. But we had old wood piled on the front porch, had to get rid of it, and Sammy and I worked on that, and tried to get the place a little bit presentable. And then I remember the funeral and attending that, and a lot of people came. But Hoover was more like a daddy to me during those years than my own daddy was. He didn't have the financial resources my dad had, but he had the caring and the love and all that. And Hoover wasn't perfect. Neither am I, neither are you. He had served in Korea. His job was to pick up dead bodies. I think I mentioned that. And so he had some issues, I think, relative to that. But he took care of us. He felt a great responsibility towards us, even though he might have been hard to deal with at times. And I remember, though he never told me he loved me, I never doubted it. I could tell by the actions that he displayed that he loved and cared for us. And so, other than my grandmother, which was a significant loss, but Hoover was the first major loss I had in my life. And so I remember him today and thank him for his service to our country. He and that generation, if he were living, he would be 77, 78 years old, something like that. But I just want to remember him today, and I'm thankful for him. What are you thankful for? And as we've talked about before, whether you're a religious person or not, and I hope you are, I certainly believe in God, trusting him, as I said. Thankful to him for the good things in life. But whether that's your frame of reference or not, what are you thankful for? Who are you thankful for? Is there somebody you need to call today? Say, "You know what? I'm just thankful for you. I need to tell you that." Is there something you're thankful for, that you can express appreciation in some way or other. Well, today is the day to be doing that. And by the time you hear this, the day will be over. Let's let it continue throughout the year. I tell you, life is too short. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And we need to take advantage of telling those that we love them today. And thanking those for those in our lives who have done things and meant something to us. Thanking them, whether they're living or dead. Okay, I have entered, I want to say it's called Clement Park. There's some people walking. I'm not going to disturb them. The grass is wet, and there's a little track around the ball field. I'm running a little bit of it. Asphalt trail. It's pretty nice. It might be a half a mile around it. Probably less than that. Cindy and I are going to meet her parents at her dad's brother's house where they stayed. And her aunt has cooked today. More collards, which I ate last night. And bitter turnips and all of that. So we're looking forward to that as well. But this run, I've got a few minutes left in it. Thanks for being here with me today.
Goodbye.
continue the run. We're back out on Main Street. And I am, it's at least, it is within eyeshot, it would be if I were able to see that far in this fog. But the building where Sammy had his lab, the Roland Reinbart building, he has since moved his lab to his house, which is a good move, I think. And I know that building had a couple of tenants in it that were dealing in drugs, and that was not a safe or good situation. And now that I get into out of the fog where I can see it, the building is not there. Seems like I remember now the thing burned down, which is a blessing in disguise. So the building is not even there. The lot's cleared with grass growing on it. Big oak tree that used to sit by the drive. It's posted with a chain across the drive. Smooth, absolutely bare winter grass rye growing on it. And a for sale sign. So that's good news. And I am now running on a sidewalk and I'm passing fire ant hills. There's another one. And depending on where you live, what country, I know you have various types of ants in different countries. There's another one. Or in the southern United States, even into Texas, I believe, we have fire ants. I can remember specifically 1988, Cindy and I lived in Brunswick County. We had fire ants there, but we did not have them here, which is 90 miles maybe north. But during that period, fire ants began to appear in Duplin County, southeastern North Carolina, further in. Cindy used to joke about that we brought them with us when we would travel from Chilote to Wallace, whatever, which was pretty funny. But fire ants make these big mounds. There's another one. They can be, I've seen them as big as 2 feet across, probably 10 inches deep. And when you come down I-40, if you ever come down toward southeastern North Carolina coast, down the interstate, there's another one, down 40, you reach a point, you begin to see them all along the grassy areas. And if you're wondering, what is that? Those are fire ant mounds. We've had some experience with them. I've been stung before. Cindy's father, when they were still raising chickens before they moved, it had rained in a rainy season. He walked out of the chicken house, walked through some water, and fire ants were floating in the water. Got on him, and he received 80-some stings. Had to go to the emergency room. So you don't want to mess with them. And once they get on you, they're hard to get off. They're small, but man, they really pack a punch. We use, which we don't have them in Thomasville. That's still a little bit too cool. But we use diazinon granules. You put on them, the mound, and the diazinon will kill the ants. They claim it'll kill the queen and it makes them move. Or gets rid of them, but all it does really is make them move. You put stuff on them here, well, this show up the next day is 20 feet away. So I don't get it, but we were down at Ash, we used to pour gas in it, set it on fire. Santa's house. Welcome to Santa's house. I'm gonna stop. Santa Claus, North Pole. Little bitty building. I remember as a kid coming up here. There's two rocking chairs in there and a small tree. It's painted white with green steps. Trim's white. Plugged in snowman. Sits right in the middle of where the railroad track used to run. And I can remember as a kid coming there telling Santa Claus what I want. Art of Hope, fine art, and custom framing. I'm just running down Main Street. Curves, walk-ins welcome. Cabanalls, jewelry, China gifts of distinction. That's where Cindy and I bought our wedding bands. These ain't akin to me, I don't think, but the mustard seed, gifts, books, garden cafe. She used to sell my book first couple years it was out here in Wallace, and we had two book signings there. Townsend's Auto Parts, where my brother-in-law Mike, Carol's husband, helped me bore out the motor of the first Valiant that I wrecked, strung it up my tree in his backyard, and brought it up to Townsend's, and they ground the heads. I was probably 18, maybe 19. And put the thing back together, and then I went on and wrecked it, of course. Okay, we're getting back to Cumberland Street. I need to turn, and I have an idea. I've got about 0.4 miles, and I've been sort of lagging along, so why don't we pick up the pace a little bit? I don't know if we can maintain this until I get there where I need to be, but we're going to try. Today's been a little bit different as far as when I left my mother's. The fog is so heavy that I didn't want to go out into the country because the fog would hinder people's ability to see me. And there's not really very many wide shoulders. And if you can't see what you're doing too well, or you have to make a quick move, you could step in an anthill, which is not fun. So we're going to try to maintain this for a couple more minutes, and that will finish this particular run. We're crossing Cliff Street, coming up by the Pentecostal Holiness Church on my left. Excuse me. I tell you, I'm not very hungry. After ham and that Eric cooked, which was really good, turkey collards, cranberry sauce, rice, giblet gravy, stuffing, red velvet cake, pecan pie, and cornbread and gravy. I ate that about 7:30 last night. I'm still not that hungry this morning. By the way, that's the way you maintain your weight. No, I don't mean eating all that. But today I won't do that. I'll concentrate almost exclusively on vegetables, some of the lean meat. If I eat any dessert over it with Cindy's family, it will be very light. You can eat what you want. You can't eat all of it all the time. But you can eat some of it some of the time. And one of the things I found that really helps a lot is I will go for a day or two, not eat any dessert, cut back on the bread. It's a matter of constantly fine-tuning what you're doing. Yeah, yesterday wasn't a great day to eat as far as my maintaining weight or whatever, but I know that I can step back from that a couple days this week, and it's not the end of the road. Okay, I think it's 8 o'clock, and we are back where we started, and that crazy dog is barking again. I'm going to turn. And we're going to make a little push here. Stop sign is almost a block away. As we did last week, if you're running, pick up the pace. By the way, my nephew Jason, getting ready for his first 5K, I invited Jason to the podcast. Jason, this is what you got to do if you're going to have any success at all. We're going to stop. seriously, Jason, you got to maintain what you're doing, but you got to be consistent. Try to go at least 3 days a week at a minimum. That's all I run. Include some faster running, at least one of those runs. Even if you go begin in the week and run 3 minutes fast, maybe 4 minutes fast the next week, and work up to about a 10-minute segment of running faster, not a sprint. That I just did at the end was more of a sprint. That I was doing just before that was more of a controlled, faster running. You want to work up to about 10 minutes of that a couple of weeks before your 5K, and then maybe do 4 or 5 minutes of that at least 4 or 5 days before the 5K, no closer to it. And for a 5K, your long run, I would try to work up to running an hour once a week anyway, and then running 30 or 40 minutes a couple times a week with the faster running. If you do that, I think you'll be surprised how well you'll feel on race day. Jason was talking to me last night, and I bet he has run a 26-something 5K, and there's one coming up in Wellington, and Jason's wanting to run it. So, Jason, I hope you do well. Let me know how it goes. Okay, just something I want to mention quickly. You can now go to the Blogspot page and listen to this individual episode. Not just the player at the top, but if you'll go to the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, and we'll give that information at the end as well, you'll see that I've embedded the player just for this episode in that particular blog entry. We're going to turn around. You can take and listen to it right there in the blog page. And also, if you have never checked out the blog, really, I encourage you to do that. You don't have to look every week, but each week we do include, occasionally it's a photograph of something relative to what we're discussing, or a graphic or whatever. There are photographs from races that I've run over on the left-hand side. There are photographs. Right now, David Yellen is the only photograph I've got, but if you'll send me information about your race, Jason, if you'll send me information about your race, I'll be glad to include that in the show. But that's at the blog. There's a survey that I put up every month that I would encourage you to go and just take the survey. It takes 1 second. Click on the button what your answer is relative to running. There is a couple of video links down at the bottom that I have referenced. There's the live upfeed from Cool Running News in the running world over on the left-hand side toward the bottom. You can subscribe with iTunes. There's buttons there for that. I put them in a couple places. There's email buttons. You can go back and listen to any episode of the 20-Minute Runner by going to the player at the very top. Just scroll through there. Hit open. Play. When you click, select your episode, it goes all the way back to episode 1. You can do that. Matter of fact, I looked on iTunes, and I don't believe the first 9 or 10 episodes are actually there, and I don't know why that is. If they remove those or what, but you can actually go back to the blog and listen. So check out the blog, really. Do that. And send me an email. Let me hear from you. Appreciate you being with me on this Thanksgiving Day run. As someone said this week, I'm not going to call it Turkey Day. It's Thanksgiving Day, which is right. What are you thankful for? Call that person, that family member, that friend that meant so much to you or means so much to you. That person who did something that got you out of trouble. Person that gave you advice that helped you get your head on straight, whoever it is, you let them know how much you appreciate them today. All right, that's enough of that. Let me give you some information. We ran 8.073 miles, which is what I wanted to do, and the average pace on that, 9:12, so that's about what we do average. That's okay. We did pick it up toward the end, and I felt good. A little bit of sprint there the last block or so. It's good to have you along with me. Again, I cannot express how much I appreciate you listening and appreciate you being with me today as I've reminisced. I'm actually walking up to my mother's house right now. She's got not a real big, but a decent oak tree in the back, and the ground is completely covered with leaves. My stepfather, who suffers from multiple myeloma, is not doing that well right now. He's had issues with bacterial infection in his intestine, and intestines, and Ronald's struggling a bit. He's going to be all right. So as I walk up the driveway, the leaves are rustling under my feet, and their cat, Boo, who is black, just as pretty as he can be. I believe Boo's wanting to go in. Hey, Boo. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Boo's a good kitty. So you guys have a good week. We'll be back in 7 or 8 days. Yeah. Let me hear from you. And thanks again for listening. I appreciate it more than I can express. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for running with me today. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. There's a lot of information there, other items that I think will enhance your listening to this podcast. Also, while you're there, sign up for the podcast with iTunes or send me an email. I encourage you to send me your questions, comments about things we've discussed in this episode, as well as information about your most recent race. If you want to include a photograph and some type of audio file, we'll be glad to share that as well in an upcoming episode. All of the music that we use in this podcast is used under a Creative Commons license. It comes from sources such as MusicAlley.com, Jamendo.com, and other places. You can find information about this episode in the show notes at the blog. Again, I appreciate you being with me today. It's been good to have you along for this run. I'll look to talk to you again in 7 or 8 days. Hope to hear from you before then. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.